You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 16. We are talking some CHL playoff performers, some AHL call-ups, and picking the brain of Recruits.ca, Grant McKegg. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 16 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. I am with my co-host Peter Hartling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, are you enjoying the CHL playoffs still?
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying all the hockey. There's so much going on. I think I'm going to have to quit my day job. U18s, CHL playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and starting in a couple of days, the AHL playoffs. I'm jonesing out.
Yeah, there. You just said playoffs far too many times, but I love it. There's so much hockey to watch. Whatever you're feeling like watching. I don't always watch NHL hockey every night. I watch a lot of the CHL, a lot of the WHL, because I kind of stay up late, so I really enjoy staying up and watching some WHL hockey, and it is some fantastic hockey just all across the board.
And it's also good for your fantasy teams too. I mean, we see so many prospects who get called up to leagues and get ATOs, and guys in the draft that are at the U18s and playing in the CHL playoffs. Players you need to know, and it's too much to watch. It's too much to take in.
Yeah, and for us, there's no off season for guys that have a deep dynasty team, because you're always looking to see how your guys are doing, if you can drop a guy or pick up a guy or find a guy that kind of isn't really known. And we're going to get into that going through some of the dub, the O, and the Q in our first segment. And then our second segment, we're going to talk about some of the AHL call-ups and how they've been doing so far and who you should keep an eye on. So let's get right into the show, Peter. You ready to go?
Hit it.
All right, let's go right to the dub. We're going to start out west. Reed Gardner, undrafted, last three games, 12 points, 6 goals, and 6 assists. Where's this kid come from? He's undrafted. Is somebody going to sign this kid?
Yeah, you'd think so, right? I mean, he's a captain of the Kelowna Rockets. He's a free agent. He was the runner-up for the CHL Player of the Week. There's a bunch of overage players running the gauntlet on the scoring board in the dub right now, and he's at the top.
Yeah, another kid that you mentioned, the undrafted kids, Tyler Wong, also undrafted. He's second in the league in scoring. The top two scoring guys are undrafted guys. That's kind of weird to see, but maybe we should keep an eye on these guys and make sure they're for real or not.
Reed Gardner actually started the year in the AHL. He was with the Penguins affiliate on an AHL deal. He played 23 games there. Didn't put up a lot of points. And then he had his CHL, I guess they had, back channel worked out a deal. His CHL rights were traded to Kelowna. And then he went back to finish the year in the WHL and tore it up. And he's tearing it up in the playoffs as well. So he's this undersized player. He's already had a half a season of AHL hockey, so it doesn't look like his offense can translate to the pro level, but I'm sure he will be given another chance next season. He'll have aged out of junior hockey entirely. He's an overage player now. So we'll see where he goes. Tyler Wong is a 21-year-old as well. He was at the Leafs training camp, he was invited, and he played even a game with the Marlies in the regular season as well. But for the most part, he's played the entire season in the dub.
Interesting. And Lethbridge is going to be playing. Tyler Wong plays for Lethbridge, and they're going to be playing Medicine Hat later this evening. Tonight, we should mention the CHL has 4 Game 7s going on. While we're taping this, the London and Erie are tied, going almost into overtime. Near the end of the third period, and then the Q has 2 games going as well, and then the dub later tonight, like I said, Medicine Hat and Lethbridge. So Tyler Wong could stay at the top of that list, and Reed Gardner could as well. Kelowna moved on, and they'll be playing the Seattle Thunderbirds, so it should be interesting. Do you have any goalies you want to mention?
Yeah, I noticed that Tyler Brown from Regina, I think they were they're out now, I think. He was the runner-up for the CHL Goalie of the Week. In his last four games played, he had 159 saves and put up a 2.48 save percentage, and goals against average, and a 9.30 save percentage. He's just been lights out in the playoffs. He's an unsigned prospect as well. He's gone through the draft. Another player who's been really good lately for the Victoria Royals is their goalie, Griffin Outhouse. He was undrafted last summer, but he's had an impressive season. 285 goals against average in 63 games. In his draft year, he had a 182 goals against average and a 930 save percentage. And he only played 27 games, though. He's really undersized for goalies these days at 5'11", but as Justin Goldman said on our podcast last week, size doesn't really matter. If you can stop the puck, you can stop the puck. His postseason has been pretty strong as well. 2.1 goals against average, 9.23 save percentage. So he's a player who will be going back into the draft this summer. Could be a good late round gamble for a goalie if any team is so interested. It's a strong draft for goalies though, so he's got his work cut out for him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was drafted.
Interesting. And you said Tyler Brown for the Regina Pats. They actually are moving on. Swift Current went up 3-1, and Regina came back in the 7th game and ended up beating them. So Regina is moving on, and they're waiting on the Medicine Hat Lethbridge series to finish up. So Tyler Brown's still got some hockey to play.
There you go.
All right, let's go all the way out east. Let's go over to the Q, kind of the forgotten league. Nobody really pays that close attention to, which I don't know why you don't. These guys can score at a high rate. It's a high scoring league.
Yeah, and there's the top of the scoring leaders is really interesting. There's some under the radar unknown prospects, and then you've got your household names. So some of the household names who are standing out at me, in particular, are guys that play for two undefeated teams, Charlotte and St. John's. So Charlotte's Philip Klapik, who's an Ottawa Senators prospect and was a runner-up for the CHL Player of the Week. He's got 14 points in 8 games. And in his last 2 games, he's got a goal and 4 assists for 5 points. And his teammate Daniel Sprong, who's a Pittsburgh Penguins prospect, he's got 7 goals and 7 assists in 8 games for 14 points. So with Sprong, he had a cup of coffee in the NHL, and Pittsburgh tried to rush him before he was ready. But Pittsburgh has been really good lately at pulling prospects up and having them make an impact for them in the playoffs. There's a long list of, Connor Sheary and Jake Guentzel. So it looks like Sprong can maybe be that guy for them next year. And then the St. John Sea Dogs, who could be the team to beat, Matthew Joseph, Tampa Bay Lightning prospect. He's got 15 points in 8 games. He's going to look to turn pro next year. And then of course the hottest prospect in the queue, Thomas Chabot, who was lights out for Canada. He's a Senators prospect. He'll be in the NHL next year, and he's just trucking along as well.
Yeah, and then you go back to the top 5. You mentioned guys that are kind of coming out of nowhere. There's 3 guys out of the top 5 that were invited to teams last year. 2 went unsigned and undrafted, and for Alexander Fortin, who's 3rd in scoring, 16 points in 13 games for Rouyn Noranda Huskies, signed with the Chicago Blackhawks, so keep an eye on him. He definitely has shown that he can put the puck in the net in the playoffs, so it's interesting to see 2 Rouyn Noranda Huskies. They've played 13 games. They're playing their 14th game tonight, so it makes sense that they're at the top of the list, but J.C. Beaudin is leading the league, 20 points in 13 games played. And in the Game 7 that we mentioned earlier, he's got the first goal in the game. So that make that 21 points in 14 games. J.C. Beaudin is a Colorado Avalanche prospect, round 3 in the 2015 71st overall. So Beaudin has been there. He's one of the guys that should be on your prospect list already. And 5th in scoring, Matthew Joseph of the St. John's Sea Dogs has got 15 points in 8 games played. That's almost 2 points per game. That's remarkable that he's a top 5 scorer and he's only played 8 games. Is there another kid you want to point out? Vladimir Kuznetsov with Bathurst, Peter?
So Kuznetsov was the CHL import first overall pick 2 years ago, and then he went undrafted in the NHL draft last year after being the first overall pick in the CHL draft. Big kid, power forward, scoring winger, needs a little bit of work on his skating, but he's right up there in the scoring leaders too. He's got 8 goals in 10 games and 11 points. So again, he's another player who's gone through the draft and will be another candidate to be picked in the draft this year. And there's been plenty of players who were established goal scorers but were weak skaters, and then, you know, through coaching and practicing and training, they were able to turn that around. You know, look at a couple of Los Angeles Kings. Luke Robitaille comes to mind, and I'm brain farting on his name, the winger there. Not Toffoli.
Pearson?
Ah, thanks. Yeah, Tanner Pearson, that was the knock on his game, is that he wasn't a great skater, and it's certainly a strength in his game now. So he's gone from making it a weakness to a strength. So haven't watched a lot of Kuznetsov this year, but if he's got the skating rounded into form, everything else is there. So he's a player who we could see picked.
All right, and before we move on out of the queue and into the O, I should really mention the two invitees. I don't think I actually threw out their names. Alex Bure-Boulay for the Blainsville Boys Brand Armada, and Jeffrey Truchon-Ville are second and fourth in scoring, and Truchon-Ville plays for Acadie Bathurst. So maybe keep an eye on them for a camp invitee next year, just like this year, but maybe they catch on to a team. It should be interesting. Let's move on to the O. Our backyard, pretty much, Peter. We're all over the O pretty much all year. Game 7 tonight, Erie, London. Erie's got DeBrincat, Radish, Dylan Strome's in 7th. These guys are putting up 2 points per game. DeBrincat is outstanding, 20 points in 10 games. What do you think of DeBrincat?
Well, actually, this won't be breaking news for anyone that's listening, but he scored to put the Erie Otters ahead 4-3, and there's just over a minute to go in the game. So he's money in the bank, this kid. Yeah, he's short, but he's got the stuff.
Yeah, how did Chicago get him at 39? That's what I can't figure out.
Yeah, well, they won the lottery. They won the second round lottery.
Yeah, pretty much. Jason Robertson, he's in your pretty much backyard. What do you think of Jason Robertson? How's he going to be in the draft this year?
Yeah, so he's a player who's draft eligible, as you just mentioned, and he's kind of been on the bubble of, you know, maybe this kid could go in the first round. He's kind of under the radar. Not a lot of people knew much about him. They'd heard of him. He quietly scored over 20 goals last year as a rookie for the Frauds. And all that he's done this year is just drive the offense for Kingston and all season long. Kingston's kind of a goal-starved team, and he brings the offense. He's got great size, not a great skater, but he's really exploded in the playoffs this year for Kingston. Unfortunately, they were eliminated, but in the 11 games he played, he had 5 goals and 13 assists for 18 points. And I think his play in the postseason really captured the attention of a lot of scouts. And I'd go so far as to say he's a lock for the first round now.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And you can't really fault the Frontenacs. They ran into a buzzsaw called Peterborough Pete. They have been unbelievable in the playoffs so far.
Yes, you could also call them Kingston Kryptonite. They're really good at beating the Fronts. In fact, the player that really drove the bus for them is the goalie, Dylan Wells, and he was just named the CHL Goalie of the Week. He's got a perfect 8-0 record. He's got a 1.5 goals against average and a .957 save percentage in the last 2 games. And to top it all off, he scored a goal against the Frontenacs in game 4.
Yeah, and what a goal. Like, how many guys did he put the puck through? It wasn't just a completely open ice net. Like, he had to go through a bunch of guys to get it there.
Yeah, it was a 6-on-4 man advantage. Peterborough had a penalty. France pulled the goalie, so there was no icing. Kingston carried up the ice, dumped it in. He pulled it out from behind the net and airmailed it all the way down the ice, right into the net. And then he did a lovely high five flyby of the bench. It was actually pretty cool. It was the nail in the coffin for the Frontenacs for sure. So he's an Edmonton Oilers prospect, and he's had a phenomenal season for them. I don't know when he was drafted. What round he was drafted? He was drafted last summer. He's moving up the charts pretty quick.
I think it's a lot of salt in the wound. Imagine being a Kingston Frontenac and seeing getting swept and then seeing a goalie score on you and run the bench high fives. I would be pretty ticked if I was a front. Peterborough Petes are going to be playing the Mississauga Steelheads, and they got a couple kids that are playing lights out. Spencer Watson, LA Kings draft pick, 2014, round 7. So he's kind of come out of nowhere. 17 points in 11 games. And the other kid that's playing lights out, 17 points as well in 11 games, Michael McLeod, a New Jersey Devil prospect, first round, 12th overall, so kind of expected from him. But Spencer Watson kind of came out of nowhere, so keep an eye on him as well.
I wouldn't say he came out of nowhere. He had a couple of years of pretty impressive scoring with Kingston, and especially last year playing on a line with Michael Dalcol and Juho Lamekko, I think. No, yeah, I think it was Lamekko or Fogel. Yeah, no, Fogel. Anyways, he missed the first half of the season because he was recovering from a wrist surgery, I believe it was. But yeah, he's a prolific goal scorer. He has just got a nose for the net. He's really undersized, but the Los Angeles Kings prospect, another player for Mississauga who stood out to me and our Winnipeg Jets scout Dave Dickinson when we went to the Mississauga 67s game was Nathan Bastian. He's kind of flying under the radar for because Mississauga's loaded. They got a lot of players, but I think he's a player who really projects well to the NHL. He's got good size. His puck possession was really noticeable. Every time he was on the ice, he was driving the play, carrying the puck, creating momentum for Mississauga. Didn't always translate onto the score sheet, but he was a real standout player. So he'll be someone to watch in the conference finals as well.
Yeah, and then you go to the other conference, and it'll be Owen Sound against, we're not sure yet while we're recording this because Erie and London are still playing. Erie is up, like we said, 4-3. But let's talk about Owen Sound. Petrus Palmu, your boy Petrus. I feel like we always talk about Petrus Palmu. What else you got to say about him, Peter?
Well, he keeps on scoring. I mean, he's not drafted. He's not signed. A little short, but man, the kid just keeps filling the net. In 11 games, he's got 10 goals, 16 points. Four of his goals have been game-winning goals. I have to think that he'll be at least invited to an NHL training camp this summer. And given an opportunity to show that he deserves to be signed as a free agent.
Yeah, and he's playing with draft eligible Nick Suzuki, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, the two of them are deadly together.
It'll be interesting to see how they go up against Erie or London. It's probably going to be Erie now that we say this, but okay, one last question, and it's going to kind of transition us into our AHL call-ups. With Erie and London finishing up, there's two guys that we should keep an eye on: Warren Fogel and Jani Kuukkanen. These guys are probably going to go to the AHL. What do you think of Warren Fogel? He's going to be in the AHL if Erie loses?
Yeah, well, I watched Fogel a lot with the Frontenacs. He played there for last year and the beginning of this season as well. He's dominant on the face-off draw. He's a good two-way center. He was a late addition to the Fronts because he was just lingering with Carolina in their training camp this summer. He was the last guy cut. He was a late cut. He right into the preseason. He was with Carolina. So he's overage player in the O. So he's definitely going to be playing pro next year, and if Erie goes down tonight, I have to think that that they would give him an opportunity to join Charlotte. And they got a pretty stacked roster in Charlotte, so I'm not sure if he'd crack the roster at the end of games. He'd have to knock out guys like Andre Nestreisel, Alexei Sorella, Sergei Tulchinski, Andrew Podorolski. Valentin Zaykov, Patrick Brown, Connor Rickley. These are guys that are prominent prospects. Some of them have a lot of AHL experience. So there's good competition there. They've got a surplus of forwards on their listed on their roster. So he might just practice with them, but yeah, I think he'd be headed there.
And on the other end, if London goes down against Erie, you have Jani Kukkonen. Is it kind of the same situation?
Yeah, Kukkonen is not as old as Fogel, but he's just been clutch for the London Knights, and he's got 14 points in 13 games. He scored the opening goal in Game 7 tonight. He's been scoring game-tying goals, game-winning goals. So yeah, he's really about a point a game during the regular season too. So his stock has really gone up this season. So yeah, it'd be again same thing as Fogel, hard pressed to knock out some of the guys on the roster, but I can't imagine they wouldn't let him be with the team, get some pro experience.
Yeah, so no matter what happens in the London or Erie game, keep an eye out for Jani Kukkonen and Warren Fogel to join the Charlotte Checkers in the AHL. And when we come back, we're going to come up with some more names to keep an eye on for AHL call-ups. All right, we're moving on to the AHL, the professional levels. Not quite the NHL, just the AHL. Let's get right into some guys that have got some ATO or entry-level contracts and have gotten called up. Peter, let's start right off the top of your list. Matthew Phillips, tell us about this kid.
All right, yeah. So my list is going to be some perhaps some players with a little less name recognition than some of the guys on your list. But Matthew Phillips, he's a Calgary prospect. He's 0% owned on Fantrax. He's gone up to Stockton. He's 5'7", 141. So he's a little undersized, to say the least. But he played for Victoria this season, and in 70 games, he had 90 points. A nice even 50 goals, 40 assists. But despite the fact he's little, he still played a kind of a gritty game. He put up 50 penalty minutes, and his plus-minus was plus 34. So the only thing on his entire file that looks a little smelly is the tail of the tape, 5'7", 141. Everything else is dynamite. So it'd be interesting to see what he can do at the AHL level and worth keeping an eye on. And if he can translate what he's done in the dub to the pro levels, then that Fantrax ownership should move up a little bit. We'll see if he can move the needle, though.
Yeah, the top guy on my list is Carter Hart. He has been called up to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms of the Philadelphia's farm team. He got put out pretty ugly. Four straight wins for Seattle Thunderbirds over the Everett Silvertips. I had Everett winning the WHL championship, so it's kind of disappointing to see, but I'm a huge fan of this Carter Hart kid. I really think he's going to be the future of the goaltending in Philadelphia. Might still be three years away, I'm going to say. I don't think he's going to get into a game with Lehigh Valley, but it's interesting that they called him up, and maybe he steals the net in the playoffs for Lehigh and just kind of goes on a whim. He's kind of pissed off that he got put out so early in the dub, so keep an eye out for Carter Hart.
Yeah, you know, on our World Junior preview episode, we had our friend Ainsley Scott on, and he was talking about Carter Hart, and he says he thinks, you know, goalies need 5 years from their draft to make it to the NHL, time to develop. But he thinks Carter Hart could be the exception to the rule there because his mental game is so strong. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get into some games at the end of the season here, how he looks. And hopefully, you know, for Carter Hart fantasy owners, he can come along and start producing some stats for you sooner than later.
Yeah, Lehigh matches up with the Hershey Bears in the first round, so it should be an interesting tilt there.
Mm-hmm. It'll be an opening, I think, with Philadelphia. I think there's going to be some progression in their goaltending depth chart with some contracts expiring and maybe the Vegas situation.
Yeah, and hopefully Anthony Stolarz moves up quick so Carter Hart can move up quick. That would be nice to see.
Exactly.
All right, Keegan Iverson just recently signed. What can you tell us about Keegan Iverson?
All right. So this is a player who was actually drafted by the New York Rangers in the third round a few years ago in 2014. Never signed with them. So he signed as a 21-year-old with the Ontario Reign, Los Angeles Kings AHL affiliate. So the 21-year-old, as I said, he was with Portland this season. He played as their captain. He's an overager, obviously. Played 55 games, 26 goals, 44 assists, 70 points. And some pretty good peripheral stats too. 94 penalty minutes, plus minus plus 27. And he's got size, so he projects pretty well to the professional level. He was drafted originally, so he's a player who should get some ice time with Ontario. They're a good team too. But yeah, definitely a player you might want to put on your watch list. And he's only 2% owned on Fantrax, so widely available. Who's another guy from your list?
I'm going to go with Tyler Moy. He went through the NCAA Frozen Four with Harvard. Kind of came out of nowhere this year. In 2015-16, he had 19 points in 31 games, and then he made the huge jump in 2016-17 to 45 points in 36 games. I think that has a lot to do with just being a third-year guy to a fourth-year guy. So he was playing with as the oldest kid out on the ice. He made the jump to the Milwaukee Admirals in the AHL. He has 4 points in only 3 games played. That's 1.33 points per game. It's a pretty good pace. He's going to go up against the Grand Rapids Griffins. And another guy that I have on my list, Dennis Cholowski, who is also from the NCAA, is going to be playing for the Grand Rapids Griffins. He played with St. Cloud State in college. So keep an eye out for Cholowski and Tyler Moy.
Nice. We should have talked about him on our NCAA free agent episode. We missed him, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did miss him.
Well, we're making up for it now. Next guy on my list is Giovanni Fiore. He's undrafted. He signed ATO with Anaheim's affiliate, the San Diego Gulls. So he's another overager. He's 20 years old. He's 6'1", 194, so size is not a problem for him. He was playing with the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles. 50-goal scorer. Has 61 games played. He had 52 goals and 90 points. 42 penalty minutes, so garden variety there. But again, a plus minus of plus 36. So he's a player who's got next to no Fantrax ownership as well. So another player who, if he can crack the roster in the AHL and maybe get some minutes and produce, show he can produce, could be worth a contract for the team, which means he could be worth picking up as a free agent in your prospect bench.
Excellent. A guy I want to bring up to everybody's attention, Connor Hall. He's a 2016 round three, number 77 overall with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He missed most of this year with a shoulder injury. He only played 17 games with the Kitchener Rangers. He has just been signed to an amateur tryout with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, but I don't think he's going to get much time. Maybe he's just going to get some practices in because Wilkes-Barre has just gotten all their Pittsburgh Penguin guys back because Pittsburgh they want to make sure Wilkes-Barre can play well in the playoffs, so they sent guys back that were just sitting in the press box, like Derek Pouliot, I think, got sent back. So I don't think Connor Hall's going to get into a game, so be wary of guys that are getting called up to the AHL, but watch for what happens with the NHL team sending guys back to the AHL teams, because it doesn't always mean these call-up guys or the amateur tryout guys are going to get ice time. So it's an interesting one with Connor Hall. I would like to see him play because he's been out for so long. I think since November. I don't think he got a game in past November with the Kitchener Rangers. So hopefully he gets some time, or he's just getting more practice time. So Connor Hall is a guy to be wary of.
What position is he?
A defenseman.
All right. The last two guys on my list are with the Toronto Marlies. They just added a couple of players. Pierre Engvall. I might not be pronouncing that name correctly. He's signed an ATO with the Marlies. He was actually originally drafted by the Leafs in 2014, way late in the seventh round. But this is a guy who's got good size. He's 6'4", 192 pounds. He played 50 games last year with Mora in the I can't pronounce the Swedish league that he plays in, but anyways, that's where he played. He had 40 points, so he could be a nice option on the left or right wing to replace some of the offense lost by Sami Kapanen's promotion to the Leafs. Another player that the Marlies, I should say, have brought into the fold for their playoff run is their 2015 fourth round pick. They signed to an ATO. That's Jesper Lindgren. He's a 6 foot, 161 pound, 19 year old defenseman who played in Sweden for Modo. Not as offensively gifted for fantasy league values. 50 games played, 24 points, only 3 goals though. Not a lot of penalty minutes and a -5. So he's a player I think the Marlies have potential for some help on the blue line. So he might get into some games. So I would be really interested to see if this kid can play. And I'm planning on going to a game next week as well. So hopefully I'll be able to give you a live scouting update on Jesper Lindgren or Pierre Engvall.
Excellent. I'm going to hold you to that, and we'll talk about that the next episode we have. A lot of names we've thrown out there, Peter. So if you want to get caught up with all the names, we're going to put them in our game notes on dauberprospects.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to catch up with Grant McKagg of recruits.ca. He started up his website this year. It's for subscribers, but it's worth the subscription. And we're going to pick his brain with a couple of the under-18 world championships and a couple guys from his draft rankings.
You're listening to Dauber Prospects Radio. I'm Peter Harling, and with me is Paul Zwanbag. And right now we're going to be joined by Grant McKegg, who just started his own scouting website and prospects site called recruits.ca. You may know Grant from previous gigs, such as Scout for McKean's and the Montreal Canadiens. Welcome to the podcast, Grant.
Hey, guys.
All right. So for any of our listeners who are unfamiliar with your background, Grant, I just kind of glossed over it there real quick, but give us a little bit more of a bio on you there.
My background's in journalism. I'd always post on a message board, like HF boards, you know, my thoughts and opinions on prospects and stuff. And Ian Morrell, the publisher of McKean's, you know, saw my posts and thought a lot of my comments and stuff were pertinent and made a lot of sense, as things turned out, that I knew a little bit about the game. So he contacted me about doing some scouting for McKean's about a decade ago now, a little more. And I started working with them and got to know Trevor Timmons while doing that. And he ended up giving me a position as a part-time scout with the Habs when Bob Gainey was GM. So I got a chance to do some part-time scouting in the NHL and was able to get mentored by Trevor Timmons over the years. And I think, you know, after, I don't know, after 10 or 15 years of asking questions and learning about the draft, I thought, well, I know enough about the draft now that I should probably look at starting my own scouting website up. So once the new year struck, I kind of, new year, new, wanted to do something new, decided to take the plunge and start up my own scouting website, because I had some ideas of stuff that I'd ran across the guys at McKean's, but it just wasn't getting done, such as the mock draft, daily mock draft, and, a draft pool and ideas like that, things that I always thought should be on a website somewhere, and decided that they would become kind of a feature of my new site and something to keep, you know, not only draft next in the loop, but fantasy guys as well.
Yeah, tell us how the draft pool works. I've never really participated in a draft pool before. I don't know how it works. Let me know.
Yeah, well, I just we listed all 31 teams, and people are 31 picks. And sorry, not the 31 teams, but 31 picks, because some teams are going to have multiple picks. But you go to the website, and you know, there's a red button right on the top menu, and you, under each pick, there's 100, you know, different people that you can select. So, you know, I don't think there'll be anybody there that somebody doesn't think should be in the, you know, in the first round. And you select one of those guys, and for each pick, and it's $10 to enter the pool. And basically, you know, the person that comes closest to predicting how the first round goes is going to win $500. We're just getting ready for the draft lottery, and at that point, people are going to start to, you know, put in their entries, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I always, you know, people always think that they always want to make up their mock draft lists and stuff. So here's a chance to put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly. All right, so let's talk about some players. The U18s going on right now over in Slovakia, and you've been watching those games keenly, I noticed. Let's talk a little bit about Finland. They went from the penthouse at the World Juniors to the outhouse at the World Juniors in 1 year, going from gold to relegation, which was pretty rare. But the U18 team is looking pretty solid. Tell me a little bit about Christian Vesalainen. He's a draft eligible player this summer. What's your take on him?
Well, it's, you know, one of those funny stories or situations where going into the year, you know, most people had him pegged as a top 10 guy, perhaps, you know. I saw lists where he was top five, top three, and proceeded to have a pretty disappointing year. He's, but I mean, I always did keep in mind the fact that, you know, here's a 17-year-old kid that's playing men's hockey. First of all, he started in the Swedish Hockey League, and ended up transferring to Finland but kept playing in the men's league, and maybe just wasn't quite ready to play at that level and contribute offensively. I mean, he played fine. He's a good all-around player and big enough and all that, so it's not like he was hurting the teams, but he seemed to have lost his offensive confidence this year. And I mean, that's quite understandable at that age, playing, you know, playing against men. So there was a lot of concern, especially then when, you know, in the World Juniors, when he didn't really create a lot of offense, and it was, people were wondering, you know, how good is this guy's finish? How good is this guy's puck skills and all those things. So he'd been dropping on everybody's draft list going up to the U18s, but I always did maintain that this was going to be the real litmus test for him, you know, how really important on his draft stock to see how he plays in the under 18s against his peers, and whether he finds a scoring touch. And obviously, if you look at the stats from the tournament and stuff, or have watched any of the games, he's been lighting it up, and you know, not cheap points either. He's been creating and finishing, and his puck skills are more than adequate. In fact, they're very good. He's a, you know, excellent puck protection skills, good hands, good shot, the whole works. You know, he's 6'3" and can skate really well, works hard. You know, the only lingering doubt about him would be, you know, well, how come he didn't do that during the season? But when he did go back to junior after the men's season, he had a couple of really big games there, and I think he found his confidence at that point. And at the end of the day, you want to judge them how they look and how they play against their peers, and because you know, trying to project them against men, sometimes you can be expecting a little too much, and he's delivered. So he's rocketed back up my draft list. I now have him in my top three ahead of Patrick. Both him and Heiskanen are have just been outstanding. And as I was asking, I sent an updated top 10 to a fellow scout today, and he he told me that Heiskanen now is in his top two, and I looked at it more, and I had him three, but it's one or the other at two and the other at three now for me after Hiche. They're just they've absolutely dominated this tournament so far.
You have, second overall, you have Heiskanen?
Yes.
Ahead of Nolan Heiskanen Patrick? Is,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Nolan Patrick is has dropped some, and it's not just me. There's he's not had a good year. He didn't have a good year this year. There was the injury and stuff, but I don't know. He had 6 months to get in shape, and I guess maybe he didn't, but that doesn't seem like an excuse for not. I don't. Away from the puck, he was not very good this year. Didn't move his feet. Didn't compete. Didn't help his team. You know, they should have been better than they were with him in the lineup. They weren't. He wasn't hard to play against this year. I like his skill, but he's not the first guy that had a productive season as a 16-year-old that disappointed as a 17-year-old. Yeah, he did have a lot of pile of points last year, but he was also on, the top junior team. Like they were an offensive powerhouse. I mean, his percentage of points per, for their goals wasn't off the charts. Nothing like, you look at Jason Robertson this year, for instance, he had 25% of Kingston's goals, which is incredible. And I think last year, Patrick was in on 33% or something in that range of Brandon's goals. That total, not goal or like not his goal total, his point total was about 33%. So I mean, I think that the people maybe overestimated a little bit just how good Patrick is. Some concerns about his character. You do digging in their draft year, right? And just you hear stuff about him not being the best teammate either and stuff like that. When you're picking in the top three, four of the draft, there's other guys that, that check off more boxes at the end of the day. So you go with them. Vesalainen has better physical skills than Patrick. He's a better skater. He's bigger. Just as good a puck protection skills, maybe not quite the vision that he has, but they're darn close in that sense. And he works harder, so it's hard to rank him behind them. The more you see of Heiskanen, he's on another plane when it comes to his hockey sense, skating combination. It was brought up by Lariana that he reminds him a lot of Lidstrom, and I know that's going way out there, but there is a lot of similarities to his game. He's just so calm and poised and smart out there. Makes it look effortless. He's quite possibly the best skater in the draft. One-on-one, you can't beat him. He rarely makes a mistake. And now, the only thing that you were wondering about was, is the offense there? Well, I think he's second in the World Juniors in scoring at this point, if I'm not mistaken, or top three. So now you're seeing that as well. That was the only question left. So he is I'm pretty sure going to be the top defenseman. I thought it is between him and Makar, but the more I'm hearing from the NHL guys, and the more I'm seeing, he's going to be off the board, top four for sure. I mean, just because I have him second doesn't mean that's the way the draft's going to go, but he for sure, for me, looks to be the top. He'll be the top defenseman taken.
So moving on to another defenseman that has kind of been falling out of top tens, Timothy Liljegren. What's the reasoning for him being out of the top 10?
Well, I haven't had him in the top 10 since probably November. December. I haven't been impressed with him in any tournament that I've seen this year, including the Ivan Hlinka in the summer. That's where I first noticed the sense issues and the defensive issues, and it's just continued every single tournament, every game that I've watched, all the feedback I've gotten from NHL scouts. that he does not have very good hockey sense. It's that simple. I mean, he can skate very well. He's got decent puck skills, but he can't create open shooting lanes. He doesn't create offense. He doesn't see the open man. He doesn't have good vision. Doesn't make good decisions offensively or defensively. I mean, you got to be able to do more than skate, and it's turning out that he can't, or he doesn't. He's not the biggest guy in the world, not the most physical guy in the world, so he's not a shutdown defender. He doesn't play on the PK. He's on the second power play unit on all the world, the under-18s that have played this year. In the men's league, he was they had to eventually sit him at the end of the season. He wasn't playing at all. I haven't seen it. I think that, you know, it's been a complete overblown. I mean, you know, kids can have really nice, really great when they're playing against 16, 17-year-olds. And sometimes, you know, they're better than them all, and that maybe was the case physically. You know, his skating was always there, but when the other guys start catching up and you don't get any better and you start to really focus on these guys, hockey sense is such a key component to an NHL player that if you don't have it, you're not, doesn't matter how good you skate. So I don't think I'm going to have him in my top 15. I haven't for a while, and I'm almost certain now. I mean, he hasn't got a point at the under-18s. He's tied with a Belarusian for the worst plus minus of the whole tournament. You know, the two worst plus minus is him and a Belarusian. He's been pucks going off his skate into his own net, trying to gets the puck in the offensive zone and just tries to shoot, doesn't try to create, you know, find the open passing lane or the shooting lane. Just I don't see a player that's going to be good offensively or good defensively, so I'm not sure why you would rank him in the top 15.
Nico Hischier is your clear-cut number one, correct?
I wouldn't say clear-cut. I mean, the Vesalainen head-to-head against him the other day was a lot better, you know. So that makes you start to, that alone was one of the reasons why I moved him up to the top three. I said, well, I mean, if he clearly outplay the top-ranked guy, then he deserves to be close to, at the very least, deserves to be close to him in the rankings. I mean, at the end of the day, that he should get the edge because he's going to be a number one center, quite possibly. And I mean, his defensive game is, you know, he's just off the charts. It's underrated, the all round game that he has. But as far as offensive upside goes, NHL potential in that sense, vice versa line, and you know, he's bigger. He's he's just as fast. He's got as good a puck protection skills and puck skills as Hischier or Darren Close. So, for me, they're not far apart now, you know. And, I mean, even Patrick, all year he was considered the consensus number one. So, at the very least, close to Hischier. I like Hischier more now, but certainly Patrick, if he puts it all together, can be a very productive NHL player too. So, you know, and then Heiskanen, well, I mean, if he becomes an elite two-way number one defenseman, like that, you know, there's a possibility both he and Makar could become the best players in this draft too. So I wouldn't class it as clear-cut. He's number one, but there's certainly other guys that, if they ended up going number one, you know, other than Patrick, wouldn't shock me or surprise me. And in fact, I'd highly consider it.
Okay. Let's go back to the U18s. And I'm just curious if there's a player or two who's underage in that tournament that has maybe caught your eye, a player who would be eligible for the 2018 draft.
Yeah. Well, I was already quite aware of, the kid in Russia, Svechnikov, and he's been good again, so that hasn't been a surprise per se. I don't know that he's been lights out or anything like that, but obviously he's a highly touted kid for next season, as is Quinn Hughes in the US for me, a kid that, I mean, I had seen a bit of, but I don't really focus on the 2018 draft eligibles during the season, so didn't really know that much about Ty Smith, but he's really impressed me on the blue line for Canada. He's been on the top pairing with Josh Brook, and just a really reminds me a little bit of Doughty when he's got the puck, you know, just a really, really smart, smooth, good vision, makes some nice plays, just a really elite puck carrying defenseman who's quite smart and mobile. He looks like he might be someone, you know, especially if he can maybe add an inch or two in height over the next year, that will be in the running for the top 10. That I wasn't, you know, I didn't really know that he was that good till I saw him at this tournament.
Yeah, I think the 2018 draft is going to be one to be excited for, and for people who are in fantasy pools that have entry level drafts, might be a good year to tank for and acquire draft picks for. Grant, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Tell everyone where they can find your website and follow you, both your accounts on Twitter.
You can reach me on Twitter at Grant McCagg or at recruits.ca. And recruits is spelled RECRUTES. So that's also when you want to go to the website, it's recruits.ca.
You're a great follow on Twitter, and I've been enjoying your scouting analysis at McKean's Low these many years, and so now we'll have to follow you on recruits to get your prospect analysis and reports. It's worth the admission, everyone. So again, Grant, thanks so much for coming on the show, and we'll see you in the rink.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Steve.
Really interesting to hear Grant's take on Nolan Patrick and Timothy Liljegren, who were 1 and 2 for the majority of draft picks last year. If you want to continue to follow Grant's rankings, head over to recruits.ca. As Grant said, the spelling is RECRUTES.ca. You can find his subscription plans, draft pool, and much more. So be sure to check it out before the draft in June. Thanks once again to Grant McCagg for joining us this episode. We also can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much a few great reviews will do for our listenership. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. You can also follow our personal accounts at Swanbeck, and Peter's is at P. Harlan. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.